And welcome back to the broadcast into the second hour of American Exposé. Keep in mind, there's a movie depicting Senator McCarthy. It's entitled Good Night and Good Luck. And it's a vilification of Senator Joseph McCarthy. I'm certain of that, listeners. It's a vilification. It's called Good Night and Good Luck. A movie depicting Senator McCarthy in a bad light. I'm certain of that. Here we see, dated October 31st, 2005, the Queen visits Earth Charter Plus 5 in Amsterdam, the 5th through the 9th of November, a worldwide conference on implementation of sustainable development, listeners. Her Majesty the Queen will attend the Earth Charter Plus 5 meeting at the Royal Tropical Institute in Amsterdam on Wednesday, 9 November. The mission of the Earth Charter is to create a fair, sustainable, and peaceful future for the youth of our time and future generations. During the anniversary meeting, the Queen will receive the first copy of the book entitled, quote, The Earth Charter in Action Toward a Sustainable World, end quote. The Earth Charter document has been composed after consultation involving thousands of people and hundreds of organizations throughout the world, and that's the UN system, listeners. It was launched in June 2000 at the Peace Palace in The Hague in the presence of Queen Beatrice. Because of the deep involvement of the Dutch royal family with the charter, as well as with sustainable development, the event will also take place within the context of the Queen's Silver Jubilee. During the meeting, a new phase of this initiative will be launched, and the impact as well as the future of the Earth Charter will be carefully addressed in working groups, presentations, and cultural manifestations. In addition, the first Earth Charter Award will be presented to a person or organization that has been very successful in implementing the charter at a local or national level. Royal Work of Art, the charter symbolic depository of the Ark of Hope, a maple chest, which is on display from this summer in the Royal Tropical Museum in Amsterdam. It is painted with religious and secular symbols, plants, animals, and children. A copy of the charter handwritten on papyrus is kept in the ark, together with books made by artists and children, containing painted and written impressions of a better world. On 9 November next, the winners of a children's drawing contest will present their drawings to the Queen as a contribution to their Ark of Hope book. The Queen will also present her self-designed book cover. The following prominent people will attend the meeting with reservation: Professor and philanthropist Steve Rockefeller, Jordan's Princess Besma Bant and Title, founder of, amongst others, the Hashemite Fund of Human Development. And there's other people in here. Maurice Strong is here. Jane Goodall. And I don't see anybody else that we recognize. The meeting is organized by NCDO, the Royal Tropical Institute, Plan Nederland, and the Earth Charter Initiative. Admission is by invitation only, people. You're not invited. Isn't that amazing, listeners? Earth Charter Plus 5. And what do they want to do? Earth Charter in Action Toward a Sustainable World. What is sustainable development? The code word for Agenda 21. Well in place since 1992, which was planned for long in advance of that. You have World Heritage Sites that can be created as a result of any kind of weather anomaly, including wars, where World Heritage Sites can be created. Think of how many World Heritage Sites are being created around the world as a result of wars, weather modification, environmental modification. There is the point in the problem. We will return with Rob Sanchez. Zozona.com is his website. We'll continue with this direction of insourcing and outsourcing of our jobs and people coming from foreign countries to take our jobs that the State Department sanctions. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Here I see, back to this article, Bush to visit Latin American nations, dated today. It says, Bush, Chavez, and leaders of 32 other nations are gathering in the seaside resort of Mar del Plata, Argentina, for the summit that begins Friday. Chavez has indicated he plans to lead a final burial of Bush's plan for a giant free trade area that would include all countries in the Western Hemisphere except Cuba. Bush acknowledged this week that the free trade area of the Americas once one of his highest trade priorities. But Bush said he is still committed to free trade as a way to lift people out of poverty, he says. Isn't this just remarkable, listeners? Quote, grants and loans pale in comparison to the amount of good that can be done as commerce develops at all levels of government, at all levels of society, as a result of trade, end quote, Bush said Tuesday in an interview with Latin American journalists. While Bush appeared resigned to the obstacles stopping the FTAA, he said he is shifting his focus to world trade talks. Those negotiations also are being held up by thorny farm trade policies, which Bush acknowledged is a very difficult issue. Chavez is trying to use his disagreements with Bush to boost his profile internationally, according to the AP here. The constant critic of the imperialist U.S. government that he claims is plotting to kill him or overthrow his government has praised plans for massive anti-Bush protests that organizers hope will draw 50,000 to the streets outside the summit. I'm asking, do you think this is why the Prince Charles is here and Mikhail Gorbachev is here to attend this summit, listeners? I would venture to guess maybe yes in this situation. Very, very ironic how this is going on. Rob, let's get your read on this free trade area of the Americas once again in this meeting in Argentina. What are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, okay. I'm a little bit optimistic about the FTAA as far as being approved this year. I just don't think it has a chance.
Good.
I know there might be some people that disagree with me, but I think Congress is such in disarray right now. The Republican Party is in tatters. They've taken a beating. And, you know, I know Bush would like Bush has always wanted to push the FTAA through. Nothing new there. I just don't think it's going to be feasible for him to get it this year. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that early next year it couldn't be, you know, a threat. But
yeah.
I think we should probably be more focused on what's happening in the Senate right now to subvert America. Because, you know, okay, Bush is going to go over and party and have fancy food, you know, with the rich Argentinians.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their poobah parties. But the bottom line is he's going to come back to Congress, and Congress isn't going to go along with him right now. They've had such a bloody fight to get CAFTA through. I just can't see them swallowing a chunk as big as the FTAA right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see it happening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, strange things can happen in Congress, especially towards the end of the year. And, like, right now, this whole visa increase I'm talking about is being slipped into the omnibus spending bill. I think the only way they could ram FTAA through is to put in the spending bill, and, you know, I think that would be a stretch to think that they could do that, especially considering how much they're, you know, they are struggling to get this H-1B increase through. So to think they could also ram an FTAA through on an omnibus spending bill, well, that's a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the danger will be right towards the end of the year session. Congress can do some pretty crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's one of those background things we have to be aware of and we have to monitor them. But I don't think it's something we should be focusing on that much right now. There's worse things going on. And granted, FTAA, if it was approved, it'd be about the worst thing I could possibly imagine happening in terms of free trade and globalism.
Well,
and it's the worst of the worst, and it's acceleration of NAFTA that will bring our country to its knees.
Well, is it really free trade anyway?
Well, no, it isn't. You know, free trade is nothing but a marketing campaign. There's never been free trade in the history of mankind, and there never will be, and nobody wants free trade. But free trade sounds like it's a nice title.
Yes.
And it makes friends with that sort of, it's a soft title. Now, there is no free trade.
And, there you
go. So it is, but, you know, would NAFTA have passed if it wasn't North American Free Trade Agreement? Well, maybe not. Because you know what? In the United States, marketing is everything, or at least image is everything.
Well,
so
we
people
as a,
think it's about free trade. That's all that's important.
Well, we as a people have certainly suffered under the guise of free trade.
Well, we certainly have, but that's because there is no free trade.
And see, the whole reason NAFTA was passed because they wanted to make sure that the people of Mexico were comfortable enough so they wouldn't want to immigrate or migrate to America. And that never happened.
Well, let me tell you, actually, when it comes to Mexico, NAFTA had exactly the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Because what happened under NAFTA is our huge agribusiness conglomerates like Archer Daniels were able to go into Mexico and bribe the Mexican government to take the farmers' land. And they've been doing this on a massive scale because Mexico was basically an agrarian society that, with family farmers. And the American agribusinesses have gone in there. They wiped out the family farm. So what are these people in Mexico supposed to do? They've been wiped out of their livelihood by American companies, American multinationals, under an American agreement called NAFTA. So, now we have all these Mexican farmers, they've been kicked off their land, they go into the city, and if they're lucky, you know, they can get some job, you know, working at a plant put in by a U.S. company, getting paid 25 cents a day. So they decide to heck with it. I'm going to just move to, I'm going to be an illegal alien and I'm going to come to the United States. So what I'm saying is anything they said about NAFTA helping the immigration problem, it's accelerated it. And if you look at the levels of illegal immigration from Mexico since NAFTA, there isn't even a question. There's a direct correlation. Because our illegal immigration has gotten worse every single year since NAFTA was agreed to. It's no coincidence. So, you know what? This is sort of an interesting phenomenon because you have American corporations that want cheap labor. They go to Mexico and force the farmers off their farms. The farmers come here and guess what? They give the agribusinesses cheap labor. What a lot of people don't understand is that NAFTA was not pushed by the car industry or the electronics industry. NAFTA was pushed by American agribusiness. Now, once NAFTA was in place, then a lot of our other industries started saying, hey, we could set up these twin border plants and exploit those starving Mexicans. So, you know what? A lot of problems caused in this country are caused by Americans that have just been greedy. And they're willing to exploit the cheap labor of Mexicans. And it's just too bad that now it's coming right back to bite us in the butt with illegal immigration, because that's exactly what's happening. We are victims of our own greed.
I see your job destruction newsletter dated the 27th of October, number 1357. The news brief titled, Anti-Immigrationist Outmaneuvered, was sent out today in an ILW newsletter. As you will see by reading it, the immigration lawyers are quite elated over Hagel's strategy. Combined, the four immigration bills introduced by Hagel are similar to the other two major guest worker bills in the Senate. What Hagel has done is to split the legislation up into smaller chunks so that they are easier to pass through Congress and, more important, to thwart those of us who want to stop massive expansions of guest workers and amnesty.
Yes.
Now,
that's an immigration lawyer saying that.
Uh-huh.
That's how they think. They think in strategic terms. And this Hagel bill is definitely a strategic strategy for the immigrationist. You know, what this immigration lawyer says here in this is... really quite cynical, but that's exactly how they view the world. It's how are we going to fool the American public? And they figured, well, if we can get Hagel to support four bills at the same time, that'll throw the opposition into such disarray, we'll just get them approved one little chunk at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's ingenious, you know. And the American public need to understand what kind of enemy we were up against. They are completely uncompromising. They will not take prisoners, and they will not compromise with us. So any time we think we can compromise with them, what we're really doing is admitting that they will defeat us. You know, I hate to put it in such black and white terms, but that's what it's all about. And this lawyer certainly made that very clear.
I see. And dated November 1st, the trouble is brewing in the Senate, and your help is needed to put a stop to it, listeners.
Yeah.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is in the process of voting to sell over 368,000 visas to foreign workers who want to come to the U.S. to take our jobs. We'll be back with Rod Sanchez. Stay with us, listeners, and you're welcome to call and question him if you wish. Back to the broadcast, American Exposé. Keep in mind the pledge line, 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719, extension 112 or 116 to make your pledge. Rob, we do have some callers. Should we take one?
Okay, let's go ahead and take one, but I want to talk about something after this caller.
Well, why don't you go ahead and talk about it, and then we'll take the calls. Go right ahead.
Okay, let's get back to what's happening in the Senate. There is a true American hero in the Senate fighting for the American worker, and the only way he's going to succeed is if Americans call up the Senate and there is moral outrage at what's going on. This hero is named Senator Robert Byrd.
Hmm.
And what he did is he made an amendment to the omnibus spending bill to not allow any of these visas to be approved. Well, you know, the senators aren't going to have anything to do with that. Like, for instance, Senator Kyle from my state of Arizona voted against it. And most other of the senators, like Saxby Chambliss, voted against it. So they've scuttled Robert Byrd's effort. Now, the only way the Senate's going to get to their senses is people are going to have to call. They're going to have to send faxes. And there's two websites that have active campaigns. They're free to use. One is called numbersusa.com. The other is called fairus.org. Now, I'd really like to play this short sound script, the sound clip,
mm-hmm.
from Robert Byrd's speech. And I'm sort of hoping this will work because I'll be playing it over my computer speakers. But I'd like to play it for your listeners. Do you think that would work?
Yeah, go right ahead. Let's give it a try.
Okay, now I'm going to play it twice, but I'll play a real short version of it just so you can tell me, hey, we can hear this okay.
Okay.
You know, I can adjust the volume and do stuff like that.
Very good.
Let's see if this works.
Provisions buried deep, deep, deep.
Okay, do we hear that?
Yeah, it seems like it's maybe a little more on the volume and the other. I think it'll be okay.
Okay, and I'm going to increase the volume, and when I play this, I'm going to mute my phone just to prevent feedback.
Okay.
You know, so we get a nice, clean signal. So, but it's short, and I want people to hear this because they really need to know what's going on here, okay?
Very good.
Okay, let's go here.
So imagine the surprise of senators to sign provisions buried deep, deep, deep in this budget bill that would authorize the U.S. government to issue more than 350,000 additional immigrant visas each year to foreign labor seeking to live and work permanently in the United States. This is baffling. 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 It is baffling, I say. And we don't have the time.
Did we hear that okay?
Yeah, we did. It was fading out a little bit, but we heard that pretty well.
Okay. You mind if I play it one more time and then we can take a caller?
Yeah, go right ahead. Play it one more time.
Okay, and I'll turn up the volume even more.
Okay, and then we're about to hit that commercial pause.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
So imagine the surprise of senators to find provisions buried deep, deep, deep in this budget bill that would authorize the U.S. government to issue more than 350,000 additional immigrant visas each year to foreign labor seeking to live and work permanently in the United States. This is baffling. 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 It is baffling, I say.
You know, doesn't that sort of tell it all?
It does.
You know, people have got to call the Senate and support this guy because he's going down. The globalists are bringing him down.
And we're talking about Robert Byrd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Democrat of West Virginia.
And we'll have to get that number to the listeners again if they don't already have it.
Okay.
I'll find it. Let's hit that. We're about to hit another commercial pause, and then we'll take Ralph and Alan and Vicky's with us as well.
Great.
And we'll take those phone calls on the other side of the commercial pause. But certainly this direction is very, very vital to connect dots to listeners. It's very, very important to understand what's being done here. And if you're not paying attention, well, what good are you? And if you are paying attention, spread the word to others about this. And Zazona.com is his website, Z-A-Z-O-N-A. Z-A-Z-O-N-A is his website, and it's on our website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, not a C. Connecting these dots is vital to get the word out, listeners. Very, very important. So we'll be back with the callers and hopefully the number to call to your senators to let them know about this situation. No more H-1 visas. No more immigration to America. And when is it going to stop? Well, we've got to cut it off at the head. It's the UN system, I'm sorry to say. But we've got to make our voices heard in numbers. We'll be back. So good, I don't want to come back. I just want to keep listening. Let's take some phone calls. We're with Rob Sanchez. Zazona.com is his website, Z-A-Z-O-N-A. And let's say hello to Ralph. How are you today, Ralph?
Okay, appreciate it.
Yes.
I missed probably the first 15 minutes of the broadcast, and maybe it was said and I missed it, but no disrespect to Mr. Sanchez. He's really done a lot of hard work, but I think the whole problem is United Nations Agenda 21. All of what he speaks of is all part of that.
Yep, you're right.
Well, why not go directly to that?
Well, there is the point of his having to expand his direction to understand that situation, and we'll work with him on it.
Okay, thank you.
There's the best thing, Ralph. Thank you.
Thanks.
Alan in Texas, welcome to the broadcast, Alan.
And thank you so much for so patiently and methodically covering this issue.
Yes.
I think we tend to become overloaded and just bombarded with news reports and attacks from every angle, and to actually slow down and take the time and get the trajectory lined up and to be able to take aim and actually achieve some damage control in response to the last caller. Even though this may just be damage control, you know, sometimes we can't really get at the root, but we can surely stop something before it hurts us and our families here locally.
Yes.
I was very happy to hear. Is it Rob or Rod?
Rob.
R-O-B. R-O-B. Okay. I was so happy to hear Rob placing the responsibility for so much of this where it lies in reference to the destruction of some 4 million Mexican farmers who were forced off of their land through subsidized farming and the low costs that we were allowed to sell corn for in Mexico. And his reference to our responsibility to, again, this may just be damage control, and people say, well, the system's broke, so you can't work it. Well, I've had cars before that ran on five cylinders instead of six, and I could still make them go.
Mm-hmm.
And that the our obligation to pay attention and contact these monkeys that we've put into these positions of responsibility,
mm-hmm,
is a heavy responsibility for all of us. And we grew up, and I'm about almost 50 years old, we grew up watching TV,
mm-hmm,
and watching heroes and watching the people in control and watching the action, and we weren't really taught that we are the reality. We are, this is some very real stuff that's happening, and this is not a TV show, and there's nobody that's going to heroically jump up there and fix it for us. So we need to, this friend of mine, he said, take your microwave, take your TV out in the yard and throw your microwave at it. But and so now right down to the where the rubber meets the road here, is this omnibus bill or this amendment of Robert Byrd's, is that amendment dead? At this point, is there what exactly are we to push for on the telephones right now?
Okay, I just got a late update that the Robert Byrd Amendment is dead. But it's not a hopeless situation right now, and let me explain to you why. The Senate Judiciary Committee is the one that put this visa increase into the omnibus spending bill, but it still has to go through the rest of the Senate. So, yeah, we've probably lost on the Judiciary Committee, but I guarantee you, if Americans got outraged and they took it out on the Senate by calling them and faxing them and saying, what the hell are you doing to my job? I'm telling you, the senators would start scurrying like rats.
Do you have
go back into their corner, and they're not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
But it's up to the American people. The people have a choice. They can, you know, they can sit and watch their big screen TV and gripe about how tough it's been at work, and let's go out and drink beer and all that. Well, they're going to lose.
Is there a number to this bill?
You mean the Byrd Amendment?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, you know.
Well, the Byrd Amendment.
I don't think.
Yeah, but the omnibus. How about the omnibus bill? Is there a number to that?
Well, okay. Let's see. I think the Byrd Amendment is S-1932, and I don't know if the omnibus spending bill actually has a bill number yet. You caught me on that one.
Yeah, well,
it isn't. you know, it's working its way through the Judiciary Committee, and then it's going to work its way through other Senate committees, and then it's going to become a bill.
So maybe we want to ask them that we want to abolish the H-1B visa program?
No, because we can't get – this will not get rid of the H-1B program, and they're not going to do that. What we want to do is to prevent them from increasing the number of visas in the omnibus spending bill, and that's really all you have to tell them. I do not want any visas of any kind increased in the omnibus spending bill, because the omnibus spending bill is not the place to do it. If they want to increase visas, let's let them do it with a guest worker bill, and let's let the entire Senate vote on it, and let's let the House vote on it, and let's let the President approve it.
In addition to our senators, are there specific Judiciary Committee members that we need to target?
Yes.
Good question.
And you can get all of that information by going to either fairus.org or numbersusa.com. They've got very active campaigns on this issue, and they give all of that information. They show who's on the Judiciary Committee, and you can even look up to see if from your state if somebody's on the Judiciary Committee. They've got phone numbers. They've got everything you need to join in this battle.
Okay, team. Well, let's lock and load and get on the phones.
Yep.
Appreciate
lock
it.
And load. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And Vicki, welcome to the broadcast.
I just wanted Rob to talk a little bit about the strategy that they use both to increase visas and to justify the illegal aliens, because it's all part of the same problem. And they do a PR campaign crying shortages of workers, shortages, and it's not just engineers and programmers, but it's also nurses and teachers. And Rob has this great place on his website that where he has accumulated letters from everybody saying the shortage shouters. So that's all I wanted to say, is for him to just tell people about that section, because it's one of my favorite places on his website.
Well, stay with us. Can you explain that a little bit there, Rob?
Well, first of all, you're always going to have companies claiming they have a shortage of workers. But what the shortage actually means is they can't find workers that'll work at the salary they want to pay. So, okay, it's sort of a self-imposed. To give you a comparison, let's say I went out and I was only willing to pay a buck a gallon for gasoline. When I couldn't find a gasoline station that wanted to sell it to me, I'd say, oh, well, you know what? There's a shortage of gasoline because nobody will sell it to me for a buck a gallon. So that's really what this whole shortage thing boils down to. Now, I think what Vicki might be referring to as far as my web page is I've got a web page with quotes, and there's a lot of quotes from CEOs. You know, let me read you one. I mean, it's one of my favorite ones from Bob Galvin, CEO of Motorola in 1987. This is Bob Galvin speaking, not me. It's no contest. We're in the business to make a buck. American labor can't compete. Sort of tells you everything. Let me read one more, because Bill Gates is always, on my hit list. Sure. Here's what Bill Gates has to say. A policy that limits too many smart people coming to the United States is questionable. I'd certainly get rid of the H-1B visa cap. Now, talking about Bill Gates, I have the insight on this whole Senate Judiciary Committee. Last week, Microsoft descended on Capitol Hill and visited every congressional office in a massive attempt to lobby for this. So I've been calling this the Bill Gates bill, because that's exactly what it is. But that's how these company CEOs view American workers. They're just too expensive, therefore we won't hire them. And that's the bottom line. That's what their shortage is.
There's the setup in place.
You know, there's another favorite quote I have on there by Benito Mussolini.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about corporatism. He says, fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism, because it is a merger of state and corporate power. And I've listened to some of your shows, and I know a lot of people think we're approaching some kind of communist takeover. I'm saying no way, man. Mussolini got it right. The United States is turning into a fascist nation, not communist.
Well,
unfortunately for American workers, it's going to be a bummer whatever system we're adopting.
I think you ought to go to the first partner website we have on our site, the Anti-Communitarian League, and find out what communitarianism actually is.
Okay.
As Bill Clinton and George Bush are devout communitarians, which is the reinvention of communism.
Okay, I'm not even familiar with that term, so I've got something to learn.
I understand, as we all do. And the situation that we live today is, communism's dead according to certain sources, but in the U.S. Code, it's still there. Communism is a conspiracy to overthrow the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And it's on my website as well. So fascism and certainly is part of this, but the ultimate goal, as the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are being engineered here today, and you have the government control of schools, which is a very paramount direction. You have school to work. You have these no child left behind directives. And then you have remedial reading when you go to college because you can't read.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously there's a setup scenario in place that's bringing us to a subservient direction. And the movement of natural persons is also very, very troubling.
To me, that's one of the scariest terms I've ever heard of, natural persons.
Yes, yes.
You know, people really sit and think about what that really means to them and how they fit into the world. That's pure tyranny.
Well, right now there's riots going on in France.
Yeah.
Because of the Muslims. And I don't have the whole legit of what's going on over there, but I believe there are race riots being created over there. And it's the Muslims that are behind this. And who engineered them to do this? That's the question we all have to ask, because I think there's always situations behind the scenes that engineer the problems to bring us into a one-world global governance. And the best way to do that is to immigrate countries, migrate countries with foreigners, so people can't communicate with each other. They don't know how their government works because they come from a foreign country. And that's the best way to dilute our country.
Absolutely.
And that's why they name, you know, the president was the only president in America at one time. Now they have a president in all sorts of countries like Iraq and Russia.
Yeah.
Everybody's a president for our consumption in many respects. I almost think they have a president of China now, but I haven't heard that yet. So here we are with these situations being set up at us and on us on a daily basis. And your information is vital. The job destruction newsletter is very, very important. Vital.
Yeah, I would like to get more people to subscribe to it. You know, I know people don't like bad news, but, you know, sometimes it knows what bad news is out there.
Absolutely. It's very, very important to do this, and I hope people can go to your website, zazona.com. And you can subscribe to the free job destruction newsletter, listeners. It's for free. He's very, very concerned about this, and we are all concerned about this. And so keep this together in your thought patterns to connect these dots to Zazona, ZAZONA.com. As we continue with trying to make a difference in our country, the only way it can happen is sheer numbers of people waking up to this and putting the pressure on Capitol Hill. And that toll-free number is 888-355-3588. That's 888-355-3588. That is the number to Capitol Hill. And make your statements heard that you're against the H-1B visa programs that are being mandated on us, where, what is it, $65,000 a year supposed to come in?
Yes, but be sure to tell them right now that it's unacceptable that the Senate increases that number, because what they're talking about is increasing that $65,000 that we have now by $30,000 more. In addition, they want to issue 140,000 green card visas, and they want to allow spouses of visa holders and their families to be able to work here in the U.S. So the total number of visas that we're talking about for people that could potentially come and work in the U.S. is over 350,000 visas. But we're talking a lot of jobs that are at stake here.
Now, you're saying that every year, over 1 million Americans are terminated from their employment.
Uh-huh.
And there was something I read, I don't know whether it was off your website or someone else's website, where an individual went, was fired from his job. He was terminated from his job. And he actually trained the foreigner that took his job. He actually trained the man that took his job. And this man went out and shot himself in the head in the parking lot of the place.
Yes, this happened at the Bank of America in California.
Let's talk about that as we conclude this broadcast,
okay,
listeners, with Rob Sanchez from Zazona.com. And you can get the free job destruction newsletter. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast. As we wrap it up, I apologize. We did have some more callers. I didn't see it on my screen, Rob.
Take a couple.
Let's
have time.
Let's take Deborah in Kansas. Hello, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a good wrap-up question, actually, because thanks to Rob, I had been introduced to FAIR and Numbers USA, and I respond to all of their email messages with the phone calls, the faxes, and so forth, and spread them out to my friends who are willing to help. So I respond to every call for action. What else can we do? What else? Because I don't feel like it's doing any good.
Well, very good for trying. We'll continue to try and increase our numbers, and that's numbersusa.com and fairus.org, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
Let's go to John. Hello, John. John, are you there? Let's go to Steve. Are you there, Steve?
I would like to hi, Rob.
Hi.
This is Steve in Austin.
Oh, okay.
This is a letter. I would urge your listeners to handwrite a letter and fax it to your congressman.
Oh, that's
it. It will make much more difference than these form letters that you fax from Numbers USA and FAIR.
I totally agree.
Here's a letter I wrote to John Cornyn. He handwrote it yesterday and faxed to his office. Dear Senator Cornyn, I'm a consultant in Austin that has been decimated by the house flushing phenomenon. My computer consulting company based in Dallas once employed over 100 Americans. Today it employs 3.
Wow.
My clients have replaced my workers and now use H-1B workers. A stealthy increase in the H-1B visa quota that was voted secretly by the Judiciary Committee was an act of callous disregard for American workers. Please reconsider your position and vote yes to the Byrd Amendment. And by the way, that bill, the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Bill, is SB 1932. The Byrd Amendment doesn't have a number.
Okay, wow. SB 1932.
That's the spending bill.
Oh, okay.
The Byrd Amendment doesn't have a number. It just has, it's just a name.
Yeah.
It's just the Byrd Amendment to that bill.
Okay, that's probably right. Thanks for clarifying that. And let me add to the caller that Deborah, you know, I think Steve had an excellent suggestion. I hope Deborah's still listening. But the other thing I would say is, there's only one real answer. Americans are going to have to organize. They're going to organize to protect their jobs. And I'm not necessarily talking unions, but they're going to have to organize politically to take down some of these politicians. And I don't mean violently. I mean at the voting, at the ballot box. They need to start taking down a couple of these politicians. Even if they took down one of these guys on job issues, I'm telling you, the other politicians that are in office would have a whole different attitude. We've got to organize.
Am I still on the air?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I would just like to offer one thing. I don't believe in term limits. But what I do believe in is voter choice.
Right.
And as my friend Mark from Iowa indicated recently, what he does is he always votes against the incumbent.
I appreciate your thoughts, Steve. Thank you. And Rob, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your support.
It's been pretty awesome. I really enjoyed it.
We'll do it again.
Great.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And listeners, do your work. Do your homework. That information is all on AmericanExpose.com and much, much more. Thanks to Dennis and his people. We'll be back tomorrow. Good afternoon.